Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Life Powerfully with your co-hosts Raj Shell and Dr. Perletta Ramos, where our conversations engage and inspire you to stand in your power, express your passion, and live your purpose.
Welcome, dear friends. When I look at our world today, I'm going to venture and say what the world needs now is compassion, and you probably will agree with me. We are facing serious issues, and we have to make some tough decisions in our personal, professional, social, and political lives. We are extremely busy, we're preoccupied, and sometimes completely oblivious to the suffering of others, which leads me to our topic for today, compassion. So what is compassion? Compassion comprises of that capacity to see clearly into the nature of our suffering and the ability to stand strong and recognize that I am not separate from the suffering. It actually activates the motor cortex, which means that we aspire to transform suffering, leading to us engaging in activities that transform the suffering. And another important component of compassion is that we are not attached to the outcome, since any attachment to the outcome would distort deeply our own capacity to be fully present to the complete situation as it is. What's interesting is that we all have the ability to be compassionate. However, the conditions for compassion to be activated have to be present. Now, if fear, pity, sympathy, judgment, and self-absorption are present, these are going to suppress compassion. So what do you think about compassion, Perletta?
I think that it's one of those traits that many people, if not all of us, have the capacity to experience, but for one reason or another, we sometimes get in our own way of sharing or experiencing that compassion. One of those things, inhibitors that you mentioned, is busyness. You know, I recently went to an event for the homeless, and one of the things that they talked about is how people don't see the homeless. They walk right by them as if they're invisible. And one of the speakers said, these are not invisible people, but when we are oblivious and self-absorbed, I think that was the term you used, we don't necessarily stop to put ourselves in that other person's position, because we're not even focused on them. We're focused on our own experience. So they do become invisible. And I think we do that in our lives, and it keeps us from being present to another level of experience of compassion for others and for ourselves.
Well, you know, they did an interesting research study at Princeton Theological Seminary where they took a group of divinity students, and the students were told that they were going to give a practice sermon. Now, half were to give a sermon on the Good Samaritan, and the other half were given just random Bible verses. And all the students had to go from one building to another. Along the way, both groups were to encounter a very sick man. What's interesting is that none of them stopped to help this man. So they kind of staggered the group as they were going from one building to the other, and none of the group staggered to help the man. The research was, did it matter that they were contemplating the parable of the Good Samaritan? No, not at all. What would determine if someone would stop and help another person in need was determined by how much of a hurry someone was in. Were they concerned about being late? Or maybe they were absorbed in what they were going to talk about. And I found this research study very interesting because just knowing that we're supposed to help people or that we should help people really doesn't help us to help people or to connect with them.
Taking that from the study, you know, to the general population, I think, I'm not sure people overall feel like they should or ought to help people. I think we live in a world where we're so focused on competition and success. We're bombarded with these notions of be successful and, you know, and to compete with one another on some level. And we're raised that way, right? And that type of conditioning, you know, to really focus on yourself and the idea that you have to beat out others, I think hinders our level of being compassionate because we're not cultivated, we're not nurtured in this idea of being motivated to help relieve someone else's pain or to, and, you know, to be put ourselves in their position. We're nurtured to get the best position we can get. So it's not surprising that if we're late, if I'm going through something, to come out of my own experience to deal with you, why would I do that? You know, on some level, it doesn't even make sense because people say, what do they say at the airport, you know, when you're going to take a flight? They say, put your own mask on first before you help someone else. So people are, you know, I don't think they're mean-spirited necessarily. They just are putting their own mask on first. And if they can do that in a way that serves someone else, okay. And if they can't, then, you know, sorry, they're not really thinking about that.
Yeah, so I like the way that you've put it the way it is, right? That's mostly how we're trained. That's mostly how we're brought up. So why do we need compassion? Why do we even need it then? I mean, we're getting on in the world as it is. That's how we were brought up. You know, we're taught to be competitive. We're taught to be, you know, better than. So why do we need it then? Why can't we just keep going the way we're going? I guess that's a question that comes to mind.
I think there's a whole host of different reasons why we need it. And there's scientifically research that suggests that being compassionate can improve health and well-being in relationships. Overall, there's an emotional, physical, spiritual benefit to feeling better about oneself because in order to be compassionate, there has to be a level of a sense within yourself of relatedness, of being related to one another. And the advantages of that is that if I identify with this person that I just passed on the street, instead of walking by them, then I can be of service and help to others. And if enough of us do that, then we can help calm our world because we got a lot of chaos happening in the world, and so it makes us feel good, right? Just as a very basic, when I'm present to and desiring to help someone else, I feel good about that. And then that personal feel good can lead into those other things of improving my health and well-being and relationship, and certainly it benefits the person that was demonstrating compassion too. So one simple act has, you know, a ripple effect. Not just on ourselves, but on other people.
Yeah. You know, just the word compassion, it's made up of two words, co, which means together, and passion, which means a strong feeling. So this is what compassion is. Mm-hmm. So when we see somebody in when we see someone in distress and we feel their pain as if it were our own and we strive to eliminate or lessen their pain, then this is compassion. So all the best in human beings. I mean, all of our qualities like sharing, readiness to give comfort, sympathy, concern, all of these are manifestations of compassion, right? So like what you talked about, Perletta, about, you know, our health and well-being, well, research shows that it does. It actually enhances our immune system. And it also builds resiliency in us. So a person that is showing compassion when they are in the presence of suffering, they feel that suffering a lot more than others who aren't, you know, perhaps being compassionate. However, the people that are being compassionate, they return to baseline a lot sooner. And that's how we build resiliency. So many people often think that, you know, well, if I have compassion, if I really connect to other people's suffering, that it's going to drain me. A lot of people will ask me, you know, like you're a therapist and you listen to people's issues all day. Aren't you just drained? And actually, no. It is very demanding, yes, to be doing that. But it actually enlivens me. And that is exactly what compassion does. It actually enlivens us. So when we look at passion as meaning a strong feeling, imagine that when we're enlivened, we're gonna really have strong feelings about our world. We're gonna be a lot more connected. So imagine now if we had compassionate consumerism. What do you think that would look like, Perletta? Because I belong to this Facebook group. It's a closed group just within our community. It's called Buy Nothing. And what we do is we offer people a way to give and receive, share, lend, and express gratitude through just, you know, posting things that they don't really, you know, that they just want to share. They just want to allow people to borrow. So you can ask for something on there and all the community will come together and see what they can do about it. Or you can just give something away. And these are like the local gift economies. Yes, it's beautiful. I have met so many amazing people. And I have gotten some beautiful things and I've given away many things. And it's so wonderful because, you know, and one of the principles is that there's nothing has more value than anything else. So just because somebody's giving away their old car or their new car or somebody's giving away their shirt, they both have the same value. So what would it look like if we all went to compassionate consumerism?
You could put anything after compassionate, and I think the world would be a better place. We've been talking around this idea of being interconnected, and at the end of the day, for me, on some level, compassion helps us to realize our interconnection and that we ultimately can solve our social ills, our emotional ills, our economic ills, if we express our mental ills on some level, maybe not completely, but if we express and experience greater sense of compassion with one another, because we're all interconnected. And when we show support to another person by giving of our time and our talent or our resources, it can have a profound impact on that other person, and it may be inconsequential. You said something earlier, and I think that it may be one of the reasons why people don't give more of themselves. And you said, as it relates to you or being a therapist, people say, aren't you drained? And I think that sometimes is at the heart of it. We feel like if we give of ourselves by putting ourselves in the same position to want to improve someone else's position, it's going to take away from us. It's going to be draining emotionally or financially or, you know, physically. It's going to take away. And that's just, it's not true. It can, but we're not talking about be compassionate in a way that's draining. You know, it sometimes mm-hmm. it requires a shift of perspective. We're talking about mm-hmm. being compassionate and how that can actually elevate you, because you feel more engaged in coming from a place of love for yourself and love for another person. And because we are all interconnected, it has a profound impact on everything. But you have to get to that place,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. of cultivating yeah. that level of compassion.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of, you know, you're right. When you put compassion in front of anything, it's going to change it. It's going to totally transform it. So even like, for example, consumerism, I mean, would we buy as much? Would we waste as much? You know, would we be less greedy and gluttonous? Because I think oftentimes we come from this place of scarcity and lack. And so, which really leads to our self-absorption as well. So would we be less absorbed if we had that kind of approach to living, to consuming, to buying? I don't know. To me, it just when I look at societies, when you look at people that are homeless, you know, they are sometimes the most giving people and they're the most understanding. Actually, there was something going around on Facebook where this guy was going to, he was dressed very well, was carrying a briefcase, and he would just sit next to a stranger and say, look, you know, I lost my family in a fire and I'm thinking of killing myself. But I need to leave my money to somebody. Could I leave it to you? And he went to like 9 or 10 different people. And each one took his money. Each one said, sure. He said, I'm going to write you a check because I have all this money. Nobody even addressed his killing himself. And finally, this Aww. Man went to this homeless man. And the homeless man is the one that said, no, you are not going to kill yourself. He said, and I don't want your money. He said, are you kidding me? He said, I would feel so guilty for the rest of my life. So the homeless man started singing this man a song. So this was an amazing, very eye-opening research project. So where are we coming from in our, you know, in our communities, in our world, you know, where we just wouldn't even address that this person's in pain and we would just be willing to take their money.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's so much happening in the world. There's so much happening in the world outside of, you know, our daily interactions that points to our having a lack of compassion. You know, for apart from man, you know, that phrase man's inhumanity to man, I think is one of the greatest threats that we face as a society. And the humanity, I think, inhumanity stems from our not having compassion. The good news, based upon what the research suggests, which I love, is that compassion is something that we're not necessarily born with. We learn it or not. And because we have the capacity to learn it, we can be strengthened. We can cultivate a relationship with compassion in ourselves and then extend that out to others. And
well, actually, Perletta, this is something that I want to address. When you say we're not born with it, I would say that yes, we are, because there's a new field in brain science called social neuroscience where they take where they study two people's brains while they interact. And what they find is that our default wiring is to help if we attend to the other person. It's an automatic empathy response. And we actually feel with the other person. These are newly identified neurons called mirror neurons. They actually act like a Wi-Fi, activating in our brain exactly that which is activating in the other person's brain. So we feel with automatically. And if that person is in need or they're suffering, we are automatically prepared to help. So this is, that's when I say it's something we're born with. We all possess these mirror neurons.
Oh, you know, so I don't disagree with that. We're born with a capacity. We couldn't cultivate it. We weren't born with a capacity. But I'm talking on a scale of 1 to 10. We're not all going to be a 10 from birth until, you know, the age we die. It requires, and we couldn't cultivate it unless we had the capacity for it. So we're saying the same thing. I'm just saying we're not born with being a 10. We're born with the capacity to be a 10. But we have to first recognize that it's a value, because what we're cultivated with in life is that sense of competition and focusing on ourselves, and we're so busy, we bypass other people. So that's what's cultivated from a societal standpoint. And because that's what's cultivated, our naturalness in terms of our ability to experience compassion is stunted. Our growth in that way is stunted. And so it requires that we make some effort to recognize that it's something that needs to be addressed in us. And then it takes, for many of us, unless we're, you know, we were born with it and we knew from infancy that this was something that we needed to do, it requires some effort to cultivate a compassionate, loving heart.
Well, you know, I wanna address the concept of the other. How much does that play into the lack of compassion? When we view the person as, you know, when we view the person as separate from us, they are the other, and you know, this concept of the other has led to discrimination, racism. I mean, major issues in our world. Let's take an example of giving to charity and feeling good. I mean, you suddenly realize that you are giving and you feel good about yourself. That's like that narcissist hit, like, oh, I gave to the other. But if in that moment you can think about the other and how they must be feeling as a result of your having given, you can go from this narcissistic self-focus to this altruistic joy. So the minute that it comes into, you know, I gave, and, you know, it's like, and then you feel good, that is more of that narcissistic self-focus again. But if we're focused on the connection to actually how somebody's feeling. So if your eye is infected or your finger is rotting, you know, you just take care of it. Do you consider it as, you know, I'm giving to my finger or anything? No, you don't act like you're serving your finger. You just do it. Because expending yourself to do whatever is needed is just a natural process. It's natural. We do it for ourselves all the time. Because is it really compassion if it is exclusive versus inclusive? And this is what I'm saying, you know, like, okay, so we do for one person. Are we going to do it for the next one or the next one? Compassion is an all-inclusive passion. It's an all-inclusive process. Otherwise, we are going to go into that little bit of narcissism, like I am doing and those people are without me, and we're going to fall into that realm of that scarcity model.
So what do you mean when you say that? It's starting to feel like a somewhat of an expectation now, and I don't know if I agree with that. So what do you mean? It's all-encompassing. Like, that means if you do it once, you have to do it every time?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm not saying you have to do it every time. I'm just saying that, you know, what? Anyway, why do we even have to ask if it's every time? If we can do what is necessary in that moment, is that possible? it'll just be a natural process, or do we just have to continue? Like, you know, having compassion for our children is probably easier sometimes, or maybe sometimes it's more difficult. I don't know. Having compassion for a certain group of people might be easier, right? But if we're excluding another whole group of people, then what is that about? I guess that becomes my question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really, I mean, can we really consider ourselves compassionate? I don't know about that. I think every person has to make the decision
for themselves.
Okay, but then that's not compassion. That's something else. As far as I'm concerned, that's not compassion. Because compassion to me is it's something where you actually are now looking at the bigger picture, and to you see yourself in everything, in all others, and you know, you see beyond your little group, or you see beyond your little family, or you see beyond, you know, your nation, or you see beyond, you know, like it's all encompassing, you know, like in when I went to do the Vipassana retreat, it's a 10-day meditation retreat, and they teach you how to meditate, you know, like Buddha taught to meditate. And the last thing we do is, you know, it's like you keep spreading out your compassion to everything, to the whole world. Not you start out from maybe your family, and then your neighborhood, and then your, you know, your community, then your nation, then, you know, to the other countries, until it's all sentient beings. That's I guess the essence of compassion is that all-inclusive experience of ourself and of our life on this planet. So what do we need to do? We just have, you know, 3 minutes left. What do we need to do to nurture this compassion and just allow it to blossom? First, you know, we have to challenge our belief system, our assumptions, our preconceived notions about ourselves and others. And then the second thing is we've got to pay full attention to what is going on around us. And then allowing that natural capacity that is within us, allowing those mirror neurons to do their job. Because if we really get quiet and if we really pay attention, we already have the capacity to do whatever is necessary. In Buddhism, there's a saying that it takes a strong back and a soft front. So it takes a strong back to uphold yourself in the midst of suffering. And the only quality that can help us to have a strong back is equanimity, to see that we are all equal. But it also takes a soft front to be really open to our world. In other words, to have an undefended heart. And the last thing I want to say is, you know, not to confine compassion to our own group. Your concern for others must be expansive. You know, Albert Schweitzer said, until he extends the circle. So he says, until he extends the circle of his compassion to all living things, man will not himself find peace. And I love what the Dalai Lama said. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. So can we just go out today and just practice it unconditionally?
Can't we all just get along? I love that.
Yes.
Yes, we can, Raj.
Yes, we can. I so appreciate you, Perletta. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for joining us on Living Life Powerfully. Feel free to email us at Pearl Raj Radio, PearlRajRadio @gmail.com, and like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully. Until next week, stay empowered, stay true to yourself, and stay amazing.
Have a great week.